your fellowship per se, but you know, we're part of the body of Christ, is that we're at a point with COVID and all of these things where the world really needs us even more than it ever did.
Amen.
It really needs our message of Christ, Christ crucified, and life in abundance. It really needs to know that God is close,
next to the speaker.
And that being false, it just doesn't cut the mustard anymore. Do you know what I mean? You know, we've never, you know, we've had a kind of moment in our history. If you kind of go back through church history, is every kind of 500 years something happens that is drastic for the church, and we're at that point in history now, and maybe COVID is something that will change the life of the church and the way that we do things. You know, it's, there are so many things in the world that are false and annoy me. You know, it's like things like the Valentine's cards and stuff like that. They really do my head in, because the world just kind of gets wrapped up in...
Hallelujah. Say it again, brother.
Yeah, it's true, man. It's so true. And yet there's no kind of... there's nothing behind it. God said to me once, I was in a meeting and there was all of this kind of worship going on, but God showed me Matthew chapter 15, and it says in Matthew 15, you know... they might worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. Well, I pray that our heart is getting closer and closer and closer to God, as you know, that we come together in all of this. Because in the letter to the 1 Corinthians, it's a practical letter, and at the very beginning of it, it says, what we have, it sounds foolish to the world. What we have makes no sense to those outside the church, you know. And actually, but now we're in a place in history where those things are coming closer. People are seeking truth. They're seeking that kind of honest relationship with one another and with God. And it's really interesting, actually, that I'm going to be talking about 1 Corinthians 13. And this letter to the Corinthians, it is practical in a sense, but it's foolish. It's wonderful, but it looks stupid. I mean, you kind of say to people outside the church, I have these conversations all the time, you know, they say, well, you know, Jesus died on the cross, so what? But if it means nothing to you, then I pray that God will break your heart so that it will mean something to you, so that that truth will start to kind of sit inside you. Don't let our foolishness stop us from carrying this message on. That's what we're called to do as a church. And it amazes me on times when I look at my own ministry and look at all sorts of things, and I think, why on earth did God call me to be at odds with everyone about this message? Because that's how it feels. But 1 Corinthians gives me hope when it says, you know, that he chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He's given me a message, he's given you a message, and it doesn't look right. It doesn't, until you actually just accept that God is real, and that his love is real, his son is real, his spirit is real, and actually that we, the church, are called to bring that message to the world. And now's the time. You know, the way that we communicate to the world, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, you know, to the Jew I become like a Jew, to those who are under the law I become like one who was under the law, that I might save them under the, you know, it's like he changes the way that he speaks according to whom he is speaking to. And that is something that we need to grasp as a church, to be able to do that, so that when we sit in front of someone, the Spirit takes over and allows us to have the same kind of language that they have, and make it relevant to them. And COVID for me has been that place. It's been an online place where I can do that with people, and I can do that with my friends, and hold my line. And then the truth and the love of God comes through that. I know in my own church, we need to stop conforming to the world, and we need to be transformed by the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, Paul shows us how to evangelize, how to live practically, how to be in families, how to be with one another, how to be a church, how the Spirit works in that church. And then I was delighted when Tony the other week preached on chapter 12 with the spiritual gifts, because it's just something that is so beautiful that we yearn for, isn't it, as Christians? We yearn for that supernatural aspect of who God is and what God does, and actually that the gifts are there for those moments when heaven and earth meet, when we meet God face to face, and when we need God to step in a miraculous way. Surely, you know, that's now. I want to see those miracles. I want to see those things that God wants to do so that his church, Christ's church, can be built up as he chooses it to be, through the gifts. See the miraculous, speak into things when people are, you know, grieving and such, when we can stand there and we can pray with them and they can know peace. I prayed with a lady in a hospice and she was so angry with God. And I got it, you know, I kind of got what she was saying. And yet she was shouting and swearing at me. And I just went, listen, why don't we just pray together? And I prayed that the Lord would just bring peace. And Spirit fell in the room. And I said to this lady, I said, did you feel that? And she looked at me, she went, yeah. I said, that's God. That's who he is. And as I left, she just kind of drifted to sleep. And a few days later, she passed away. But at the very heart of our message that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians and for the rest of the gospel, I believe, is this chapter, chapter 13. Please, just close your eyes for a moment. I'm gonna read these words to you. Let's just be quiet and let these words sink in. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away my childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. time in 2011, I just finished all my training and I was moving down south from Yorkshire, and I got asked to preach at a wedding. It was the first time I'd worn a dog collar and all of that. I looked, you know, it cost me 50 quid for the shirt. I couldn't believe it. And it was so uncomfortable. And I got up and I wrote this sermon about this scripture so that I could preach it at my friend's wedding. And I read through it and it looked okay. But the moment I stood up, it was like I felt this power inside my stomach just go, whoa, like that. And I just stood up there and I preached this sermon, and I've never been able to change it since, because it was just right. It spoke to the Christians, it spoke to the non-Christians, it spoke through all the stuff that people were going through. And the amount of non-Christians that came up to me after that service, it was like a line of them asking me about what I'd been talking about. There was no holes in that. There were no holes in this scripture that give me a foothold to do anything wrong. It's perfect, actually. And one of the things that I did, or I do quite regularly, I've done it before, and I'm doing it with you guys as well, is when I was on sabbatical and I needed somewhere to worship, I knew I had to find a Pentecostal church. And Salisbury Pentecostal, ping, there you are. It's ordained. God brought me to you as you to me. And the reason that is true is because of every time I go into a Pentecostal church and the worship starts, the love in that worship, it seems to me, is genuine, honest, from the heart, straight praising God. And I've heard you praise God, and I wait for that moment. There's always a moment in a Pentecostal meeting when it feels like the Spirit is just lifting and lifting and lifting and lifting, and then all of this love and praise of God just seems to come out, and the room is always, always buzzing. And it's this noise, I wait for this noise, this hum that you have when you worship God. And it's like, and I wait for it and it always comes. For you guys, that kind of honesty of your worship comes straight out of your hearts, and I can hear it and I can see it and I get affected by it. And yet, Paul says to us all, you know, we can pray in tongues, we can speak in tongues, we can do all these voices, all this music and everything. It matters not, because actually, unless it's done with love, it means nothing. What's the point of someone looking in on us if it means nothing to them? We have to worship with our whole hearts and let that kind of love and that truth come out. We can have the words of angels and the words of knowledge, but if we haven't got God in the middle of it, then we're just nothing. Our church and our worship and our lives need to be genuine, full of love. Otherwise, they are nothing. We gain nothing and they mean nothing. It's just noise. This is what Paul is saying. We can put whatever we want and boast about it. We can put as much money in the pot as we want, but then that becomes about us. This is not about us. This is all about what God has given us for the rest of the world. And we're caught up in it, in that worship and that love. And unless it's with love, then we gain nothing. You are nothing and you gain nothing unless you have love. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, let your love be genuine. Then you might heap coals on their heads. When people see genuine love, they know it. It turns their head. It brings tears to their eyes. It shuts their mouth. Because genuine love, you can just stand there and you know that you are in the right place when you know that love is right in the middle of what you are doing. We take bread and wine together, and actually this morning I've got orange pop and crackers. It was the first thing I could get my hands on, but I did it with love.
Yeah.
I know what this means. I know what it means. I knew it when I put my hand on the rock in Jerusalem, that the sacrifice that Christ made for me is real. He did die. He did take my sin away. I am part of this church of the resurrected Christ. And without love, it's just words. Isn't it wonderful, I think, that over the millennia, you know, I'm a great lover of art, and I love modern art. I love all kinds of art, but I particularly like modern art and actually, you know, and words and writing and songs. And if you could put all the art and all the songs and all the books, imagine how many things have been written about love through the centuries. You know, these beautiful things that people have kind of expressed themselves and in the way that they do it through their music and through their songs and through their art and their writing. And yet I believe that these words that Paul has written in 1 Corinthians 13 describe love in such a way that you will not be able to pick a hole in it. It will always stand up to you because it's perfect. The words that he has written are the most perfect piece of literature about love I think that has ever been written. Ever. It shows us what love is like. It shows us what it means to be genuine with our love. It shows us that even though our lives may not be perfect and we still come up against stuff, it's like a sounding board that we can use to be Christian people. And if we come up against something and it's all kind of like falling apart, just read 1 Corinthians 13 and say, which part of this am I not doing? And change it. Because if we line up with this passage, then we will always be doing it for the right reasons. And if we do it for the right reason, which is love, and it's genuine, God will always work in that. Always. If you don't know what to do, then put it against this. These words, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor people, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When I was a child, I used to go to my grandmother's house on a Saturday afternoon. We used to watch the wrestling and make apple pies. And my childhood was a bit crazy, really. It was around volatile people and crazy people. But my grandmother's house was different. I knew that when I'd opened the gate, it's got a little blue piece of wood on it that my grandfather put number 30 on. And you'd put your hand on the handle and you'd shout in and you'd say, it's me. And you were always welcome and loved in that house. Nothing mattered in that house. Didn't matter what else was going on. In that place, you felt loved, you felt protected, you felt trusted, you knew that there was hope there, you were not being judged there. It was like the kind of epitome for me of what love looks like I had in my grandmother's house. And the last time that I saw my grandmother in that house, there were like four other people in the living room sat with her. I didn't know who they were. But it was like the love just attracted people to her and to that place where love was genuine, where love was real. And for me, even now, I struggle so much because these words pull me up. I can get angry like that. I hold grudges sometimes, and I need to, and I'm working on it, and I kind of hold it up against myself, and I say, Paul, come on, stop doing this. And actually, recently, I found that is working. That love that this talks about, when I feel like I'm going against somebody else, I draw back and I pray for them. When I feel like I'm losing my patience, I still myself. I come back to the place of love. I come back to the place where 40 years ago, 45 years ago, I would be sat in my grandmother's house and have that same sense of peace that God brings because of love. Then I changed the way that I speak to those who have given me difficulty, really. I don't always manage it, but I always try. Or I always try to go back to it and say, look, I'm sorry. And actually, in the last 10 years, I've learned to say to people, I love you. That was really hard for me for a long time. But my love for my church, my love for my family, my love for those who are around me is just, and the love that I'm feeling in my marriage at the moment, it is just like, it's just intense, it's immense, and it's beautiful. And in fact, I have the words engraved inside my wedding ring, love never fails. Why? Because I absolutely believe it. Love never fails. If I hold love in front of me and I try to exercise the scripture in my life, it never fails me. Not once. When the world is throwing stuff at me, when people around, people kind of that I work with throw stuff at me, which they do regular, you know, I always come back and I've always got that in me that says, love never fails. Persevere, Paul. This is about you growing in love, because love never fails. God never fails. All the other stuff, all the noise of the world, all the things that are going on around us, they all fall apart at the end of the day. When we come into the presence of God, when we come into the presence of what of this love, because the Bible says that God is love, when we come into the presence of love, all of those things will fall away. All the practical stuff that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, they'll become nothing when we come into the presence of love. And yet the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is here. And now those things should fall away, even now. Love is the only thing that matters for us, really. When we get to see love face to face, hallelujah. I can't wait. Being in the presence of God, even now, Paul says, you know, it's just a glimpse, it's just a reflection of the reality of what it will be as we get closer and closer to our Lord. Paul says in Ephesians, he prays this this prayer for the Ephesians. He says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. If we could just grasp something of the depth and the width and the length of the love that God has for us, if we can just even just touch it, we will know something of the fullness of God. How mad is that? It's, and that's the Spirit revealing God's love to us and through us. The Spirit of God bursting out of love for the world, that they might know God as well. And if we could just get them to just touch something of that, then love will never fail. Love will take over. Love will just burn their hearts on fire for love for the Lord. Just imagine the joy that would come from such love. Just imagine how the world would look from such love. If we didn't keep record of wrongs, if we didn't get angry, if we trust and hope in the Lord, trust in His protection, if we can just live this out in our lives, the world would be a different place. And now is our time. The world wants this and needs this. All need to be saved, as John Wesley said, and all can know themselves saved. The thing is, when love is involved, there's no accusation. When love is involved, there's no guilt. When love is involved, it will come good, because love never fails. And it's up to us to even just practice this and allow this to grow in us. And the more we love and trust God, the more that the joy will come, the more genuine our love will be, the more genuine our love will seem to the world as they look in on us. And we say to God, we say, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, the only way that's going to happen is through love. Because when everything else falls away, there's one thing left, and it's love. We will be not just in that buzz of worship. We will be in the very presence of the Creator. We will know the depths of His heart. We will know the depths of what He wants for us and what He wants for everyone around us. We will know what to say. The Spirit will give us the words. We will fall on our knees in worship, and our hearts will yearn for the Lord. We will see miracles. We will see the supernatural. We will see differences in our own lives, in our families, in our work, in our communities, and even nations will be reconciled. Because everything that they argue about now will mean nothing in the presence of love. Why? Love never fails. Never fails. The Lord never fails us. One of my favorite books is the book of Proverbs. And I just love the words of Proverbs, and there's one moment in Proverbs, I think it's in chapter later on in the book, chapter 13. It's like this father. It's a picture of this father walking through the garden, sharing love with his son, and showing him how the world works. And it's just this beautiful thing as they're walking along the path. There's like ants. It must be like ants rolling across the path. And the father says to him, look at these creatures of little strength, and yet they store up food in the summer. That's love. That's genuine love, I think. When that's the intimacy of God and the love of God, when He walks the garden with us and shows us things of the garden that say, have you seen this? Is excited about creation. God's intimacy with us runs down the road with open arms. That's love. God's intimacy with us in like in the story of the, you know, the older son comes in and he says, you've never done this, you've never done that. He said, whoa, hang on now. Your brother's come home. We have to rejoice. Love breaks down every single barrier that we can pull against it. God's love will break it down. And if you're in that place at the moment where you, it just feels hopeless, really, then be encouraged. You know, David writes Psalm 51 when he's been pulled up short for the things that he's been up to by Nathan, and he writes this psalm and he says, I yearn, Lord, to meet you. Change my heart. I want a new heart so that I can meet you in that place of intimacy, the secret place, he calls it. Just me and you, where I know that I can just be myself, because you love me anyway, that I can be the person that you want. Because all God wants is that intimacy with us, with everything he's created, that we give our lives and our money and our relationships and our work and our friendships and our colleagues and the nations and the leaders, and we give them all to God. Because we know that he can love them even more than we ever could. I've recently, on the idea of the symbol of love, I've been thinking about this and the heart and you guys and life and all of this stuff. You know, and God has given me a word for you, I think. I know, actually, I'm going to say it. But God has given me a word for you. He says that he knows where you are as a church. You are at the end and the beginning simultaneously as a church. Tony and Ruth are about to retire, and that's an ending, something coming towards the end. And you as a church need to know where you're going next. Now, whatever you do, what God is asking of you, he's saying that everything that you need, you've got. Don't worry about it. It's all, you've already got it. Some of you might need to release it, but you've already got everything that you need. And that you must, to find that intimacy with God is the way that you, sorry, Tony and Ruth, I have to say this, but the way that you release Tony and Ruth in the coming weeks and months, do it with love. Do not let anything else cloud your love for them. Release them with love. Let them go, let them be, and let God take them on to wherever they go. And everything that you need after that, you've already got. Be blessed in it. God is taking you to that secret place, and it might feel like it's hard or whatever, but it's not. God's got you. He's going to come behind you and put his hand on your back, steadying you. It's okay. But don't let anything cloud the love that you have for Tony and Ruth and send them on as you release them in the coming weeks, okay? Let me finish with this. A couple of years ago, I started horse riding, and it took me by surprise. I absolutely love it. I love horses. I had never been around horses before, but I've just fallen in love with horses. And I remember the first time my horse, Marco, he's an Irish cob and he's grumpy. And I saw him coming across the yard, and my eyes met his eyes, and I fell in love with him, as he did with me. and he is just an amazing horse. And I could see everything that was going on in his mind. I could see how grumpy he was, and I thought, yeah, that's me. Me and Marco are the same thing, you know? And I started to ride in that. And someone, one of my instructors said to me, they said, you know, when you'll get to the point when you ride that you won't need to think about it. Your body will tell the horse everything you see, because the way that we communicate with horses is through the way that we move. Our feet, our hands, the way we sit, everything, they feel it, they know it. They've got this kind of really incredible sense of touch. It's so much so that you could just slightly move a finger on your hand and the horse will respond to it. And I found out that because horses are herd animals, then that's really important to them. And when they sleep, one horse will stay awake and stand, and they're ready to kind of fight or flight. And even if the horses are asleep, as soon as the horse that is awake, their heart rate starts to rise, the other horses sense that they're getting ready to run. So before they even know what's wrong or what's going on, they know your heart. When I was walking across that yard that day, when I looked Marco in the eyes, actually, he knew my heart before he knew anything about me. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. God knows your heart. He knows you love him. He knows everything about you. He hears your heart before he even sees you. Before he knows anything about us, he knows our heart. And he still wants to be intimate in this place of love with us. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful. Thank you. Can I just pray one moment? Will that be okay, Tony? Let's pray together. Father God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we rejoice in your presence today. We rejoice in the love that you have for us, that looks at us and says, oh, I love you. We thank you, Lord, that your love is genuine. Let ours be too. And Father, as you pour out your love upon us as a church, as individuals, whatever's going on in our lives, Lord, we pray that we would be able to stand there in love and not be accused or be accusers of, but just accept that your love is genuine, that your love in Christ is real, that your sacrifice has changed everything in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So Lord, I hold my brothers and my sisters to you now. Pour out your love upon them, that they might know the depth and width and height and fullness of the very heart of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.